This is not beer. But it looks like it. I hope everybody had an opportunity to have a good Thanksgiving, was able to get together with your families. It's not always an enjoyable time of year, even though business, I've noticed, is somehow or other just sort of passed by this day. And they already had out their Christmas decorations, and some of them started playing the Christmas songs just a bit early. Can't they wait? But anyway, here in our country, we have a day that has been set aside by our forefathers to give thanks to God for the blessing of this, well, at that time when they started, the blessing of this new land and all the blessings that they realized that came with it. So why the need to give thanks? If you need a title, that's it. Why the need to give thanks? Some may think, well, that's sort of a dumb question or a trite question. You know, at a human level, we quite often say, well, you know, somebody did something, they gave you something or did something for you. You say, thank you. It's the polite thing to do. Or we say, please. That's a polite thing to do. But what about giving thanks to God? Why do we do that? Do we do that just to be polite? Or we feel obligated to? Well, let's turn over to Luke 11 and verse 2. In a sense, we should feel obligated. But on the other hand, we should desire to give thanks to God. Luke 11 and verse 2, this is the example of the model prayer. It's where the disciples, one of them had asked Jesus to teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So obviously they had seen or heard John teaching his disciples. And so they asked Jesus if he would do the same. And in verse 2, so he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we've been doing that in song this morning. That means that we should, if you look up that word, hallowed, it means to venerate, to praise, to express appreciation, to give thanks for who and what God is. He is a great and awesome and merciful God, a giving God, a loving God. So there's many reasons to offer thanks to him. And it goes on to say in this model prayer in that verse, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're to pray for his kingdom to come. And we know that some churches think the church is the kingdom of God already on earth. And some place very high authority, and I think you know who I'm talking about, that they even believe their leader is the very direct spokesman for Christ on earth. I don't need to name any names. Don't want to do that because we know we're always being recorded. But you know who I'm talking about. So we give praise and we give thanks and we are acknowledging him, God, and his great love and concern for mankind. So I have a few points today that I'm going to emphasize. I'm not going to number them. Just want to emphasize them as I go along. So I'll read those twice. The Bible tells us we should continue giving thanks. The Bible tells us that we should continue to give thanks. In other words, it's not something that we just do a time or two and say, okay, I've given thanks. I don't need to do this every time. But notice Psalms 103 in verse 2. It says in Psalms 103 verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. So there are always many benefits that God gives us that we need to remind ourselves to be thankful for. And in Colossians 4 and verse 2, Colossians 4 and verse 2, the apostle mentions that we should continue earnestly, that is, give serious and close attention to, in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So we're to continue that process day by day and not just have a weak approach, a sleepy time prayer type approach, because he says continue earnestly. So it's something we have to give attention to and put forth effort. And it goes on to say, while you are at it, in verse 3, it says, verse 3, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open us to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. So as we are giving thanks, he is admonishing us to also pray for the work and pray for the servants of God that are carrying out the work and sending forth the gospel message. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's go there. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18 it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we see that giving thanks is the will of God. God wants us to learn the attitude of giving thanks, of being appreciative. Another point we want to emphasize is giving thanks to God sharpens our perspective. Giving thanks to God sharpens our perspective. You know, it's just human nature to focus on the negative rather than the positives. We just read earlier in Colossians 4, Paul said to be earnest and vigilant in prayer and thanksgiving. And where was Paul at that time? We saw it there in the last part of that verse when we read it. He was in prison. He was locked up. He was probably in chains. But yet at the same time, he focused on the work of God. He has a positive attitude, even though he's locked up in prison and couldn't go out and work at that time, but he could still write letters and send out messages of encouragement to the church and to remind them to be giving thanks and praying for the work. And he was looking forward to the time when he could be set free and go through the doors that God had opened for him so that the gospel message might go forth. You know, we tend to have focus on negative things, and we need to overcome that and be thankful. A man with no shoes may focus on and complain about not having any shoes until he meets the person with no feet. That puts a different perspective on it, doesn't it? And you see those commercials on TV about our wounded warriors. We have many people that are in that condition now. Here is some data that I've collected over time. I think this is probably dated material. It's getting a little old, but I dare say it's probably fairly close. It's some data about putting blessings in perspective. Sometimes we forget how blessed we are living in this country in our open prayer. Open prayer is mentioned to be thankful for this great nation that we're privileged to live in, even though we live in a very troubled world. It says, if you have food in the refrigerator, and some people don't have a refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, then you are richer than what percentage of the world, would you think? 75%. 75% of the world doesn't have all those things. If you have money in the bank and in your wallet, you got a few pictures of George Washington or any of those other dead presidents, you know. Maybe some spare change in a dish somewhere, then you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthiest. That's just, isn't that hard to believe? But you know, we are sliding as a nation. I'm sure you've heard on the news how that the middle class is diminishing. It's sort of in the process of disappearing. Well, I read an article yesterday in the local newspaper. It says here in Laurel County, the average family income, and that's annual income, has decreased by $1,700 in the past 4 years. That's reduced $1,700 a year. That's the wrong direction, you know. If you woke up this morning with good health, then you are more fortunate than the millions who will not even survive for the rest of this coming week. And if you never experienced the danger of battle unfolding all around you, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, then you are ahead of 500 million people in the world. And you know, those things are becoming much worse in the world. You don't want to be a Christian living in the Middle East now, do you? You know, there's quite a commotion between the two parties going on right now that if you want to favor the Christians, you're biased, you're prejudiced. And if you don't want to let people in from the Middle Eastern Muslim countries, you're prejudiced against them. But when did we start bringing Christians in to this country and they spawned terrorism? You know, they're forgetting something. If you can attend a church meeting without fear of persecution, harassment, arrest, torture, or death, and you're more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. 3 billion people in the world. I know everyone in this room can read what I just read. If I handed you a copy, you could read it back to me. But 2 billion people in this world cannot do that. 2 billion people. And of course, we have adults even here in America that cannot read. You remember Andrea West? I believe she used to work with that adult reading program right here in Laurel County. Let's go to Philippians 4 and verse 11. Philippians 4 and verse 11. Philippians 4 and verse 11 says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. This sounds like some kind of a line that might have come from a song or something similar. It says, I've lived through some good times and I've lived through some hard times. But, that's life. Sometimes we we have some low spots, sometimes we have high spots. Paul learned to be content with whatever circumstances he encountered, and of course he encountered a lot of unusual circumstances. In fact, he was stoned to death once, they left him for dead. I don't know whether he really died and God resurrected him or whether he was just had gone unconscious. But the interesting thing about it, though, whenever he came to, he got up and went back to work. You know, he continued on. He had a positive attitude. But expressing thanks helped the Apostle Paul keep his perspective of things. It helped to keep it sharpened and to stay focused on the important things, as we mentioned a while ago. Even though he was in prison, he was still thinking about the work and getting the gospel message out. Another point we want to emphasize is thanking God helps us remember and appreciate our blessings and not forget them or to take them for granted. If you're taking notes, shorten that up. Thanking God helps us to remember and appreciate our blessings and not forget them or take them for granted. So just short version would be, it helps us to remember and appreciate. And don't forget it. Don't let it slip. In Psalms 103. In verse 1, Psalm 103 and verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." God has all kinds of benefits that he shares with us, and if we'll just name them from time to time, then we have much to be thankful for. Verse 3 goes on to say, "Who forgives all our iniquities?" Right there's one listed. God forgives us all our iniquities. "He heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." And not only all of that, what is our future? What is our future? You know, I believe it's in Matthew where Jesus was talking with the disciples, and he said, it's the Father's desire to give you the kingdom. He wants to give us the kingdom. And in Daniel chapter 7 is where it mentions that the kingdom is given to the saints of God. So expressing thanks helped the Apostle Paul keep his perspective. It also helps us. But going on here with this point that we are on, thanking God helps us to remember and appreciate. Even though we go through trials and low spots in our lives, and we go through high spots, but we also sometimes are tested. But we need to remember that no matter where you are in life, if you are going through a trial, and some people are going through terrible trials, health problems, and so on. But remember this in Romans 7:24, here Paul is talking about the difficulty that he has with his own human nature. But yet what he says can apply to any trial or test or problem that we might have in life. And he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" So who will deliver us? He answers it in verse 25. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. But the answer is, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So that is our hope, and that is our help. In Philippians 4:13, I'll just read that to you. Philippians 4:13 is one of our old memory verses. It says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." That's a very positive and encouraging statement, isn't it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Next point to ponder and emphasize is thankfulness is an antidote for fear, worry, doubt, and other damaging emotional reactions. Let's just shorten that up to thankfulness is an antidote for fear, worry, or doubt. I had to get an antidote one time. Norm and I were out. This is when our son Mark was in arms. I was carrying him. We were out in the woods there behind that house that the Dahlgrens built out on West 80. Some of you may remember that. We were in that lot there behind their house. And Norma says, "Something bit me." And I said, "Well, Stan," of course, it's the fall of the year, you know, when there's a lot of bees and things. I said, "Well, stand real still, we might be near a yellow jacket's nest." And so we paused, and everything seemed to be fine. No problem. And so, since we thought, well, if there's one bee buzzing around and it bit her, well, it's over now. But when I moved, my foot was on a yellow jacket's nest. When I moved, you know what they did. There's somebody up there been bothering us, and we're awfully mad. They swarmed me and Mark, and I'm trying to fight them off of him and also get away from the nest. And so I ran over to the side and sat him down and got the bees off of him, but meantime, I'm not defending myself. And so Norma then runs over and gets him and gets him out of there. But meantime, I took about 100 bee stings. And so by the time I got to the hospital, my throat was worse than it is now. It was, in fact, it was swelling together. You could feel your pipes closing up. But anyway, we had to get a little antidote to counteract the poison from the bees. But that's what we're saying here. We need an antidote against fear or doubt and things of that nature. And we go on here in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." In other words, don't be anxious, but continue in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. So we can give our burdens and our challenges of life to God, and He will help us. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." So we need our minds and our hearts guarded in this evil world that we live in, don't we? "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." In other words, focus on the good and the righteous and the positive. Okay, that's all we'll say about that one. The next point to emphasize is expressing gratitude to God reminds us who and what God is. It reminds us of who and what God is. Quite often in Dr. Ward's lectures, he will mention a statement quite often. It's important to know who and what man is and who and what God is. I appreciate our sermonette today, we learn a little bit more about God's name. I believe we concluded it's Yahweh, right? Yeah, we think. Yeah, at least we know that. Jehovah's would say it's Jehovah, probably. But I think I read somewhere where most of the scholars now have concluded that Yahweh, probably, till they learn different, that's probably the more correct. But it was interesting, though. I had studied that subject quite some time ago. John was pointing out there, it was in Deuteronomy 6, wasn't it, where God told Moses, he said, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I was known by this name. And now I'm going to be known to you by Yahweh or Jehovah, Yahweh. We know it's Yah, don't we? And so, El Shaddai, or El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the way they say it in the song, but I think it's pronounced El Shaddai. Did you look that up? Yeah. But anyway, it doesn't matter. God's name is in the Bible in about four different languages anyway. So those people that say, well, you've got to say God's name a certain way in Hebrew, or you're not honoring him, that sort of doesn't hold water. Even Jesus Christ himself spoke it in a different language. But anyway, I'm getting off track. Expressing gratitude to God reminds us of who and what he is, who God is. In Psalms 106 and verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. And if we have it right, that would be Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So whenever we thank God and praise God and acknowledge him, we are reminded that he is a gracious and merciful creator, and that he's that way forever. He never changes. He's consistent. That's his nature. Flip over to page or so, 107 and verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks, Psalms 107, 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So the very same statement there. And verse 15, skip down to verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. This statement right here, and of course we sing that song, is repeated several times in this chapter. Then in verse 22 it says, let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know, that's the kind of sacrifice that God appreciates. And declare his works with rejoicing. God desires the spiritual sacrifices and the right spiritual attitude, rather than burnt offerings of the old covenant. In Hosea 6:6, I'll just read that one to you, because we're going to stay right here in Psalms 107. Hosea 6:6 says, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. Well, I said we're going to stay here. Let's go to Micah. Chapter 6. That's in the Old Testament somewhere. It's right after Jonah. Micah 6 and verse 8 is the verse I want to emphasize. Micah 6. Let's start reading at verse 6, though. Micah 6, 6 says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Boy, that's a lot of oil, isn't it? 10,000 rivers of oil. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Now, here's what God wants in verse 8. He says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? That's the bottom line, isn't it? That's what God really wants. Now let's finish up the, I believe it's the last verse in Psalms 107, verse 43. Psalms 107, verse 43. Sort of the conclusion. It says, whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So if you read that whole chapter about thanksgiving and how great and long God's mercy and grace is, then you will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Another point to emphasize is giving thanks builds motivation for calling on God in times of need. Let's turn to Psalms 50. Psalms 50. And verse 14. Psalms 50 and verse 14. It says, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. You shall glorify me. So, when we need deliverance, offer God thanksgiving and call on Him for what you need. And He will deliver us and He will be glorified in us. Another point to emphasize is thanksgiving motivates us to obey God. Let's turn to Psalms 105. Psalms 105. The book of Psalms is just loaded with psalms of thanksgiving. Psalms 105, we'll read verses 1 through 5. It said, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the nations or among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. We do that when we come to Sabbath services, don't we? Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. And remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. You might want to read that entire psalm later today. Here's what the expository Bible commentary says about this chapter. It says the emphasis throughout this psalm lies in God's goodness, His promise, His protection, His providence, and His presence. Keeping the precepts of the Lord is, therefore, an expression of joyous gratitude for all the benefits the Lord has provided for His people. The next point to emphasize is giving thanks provides an atmosphere conducive to edification. Big words. Conducive to edification. In other words, we should be thinking about and talking about the things that edify instead of maybe getting into the complaint attitude. Ephesians 5 and verse 4. Ephesians 5 and verse 4 says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So our emphasis should be on the giving of thanks instead of coarse jesting. Bad talk, bad language does not lead to thanksgiving. In Ephesians 4 and verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Now flip back to chapter 5, Ephesians 5, and verse 19, Ephesians 5, 19, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord." Let's pick up another scripture in Colossians. Colossians 3 and verse 15. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and giving thanks to God for the Father through Him." You know, there's a lot of songs and lyrics combined with music that provide intellectual stimulation for us and emotional nourishment whenever we participate in song services at church. We're able to enjoy those things together. You know, I suppose most of us are aware of big thing among the churches now is praise music. You hear a lot about that. And it's been going on for several years, and I've heard some preachers on the radio talk against it and some for it, you know. But I do have a couple of quotes from some of the people that are in the churches and trying to put together a group of songs for their praise music. And so they do. They have a lot of music and they have a lot of praise. But here's what one person says. And the title of his article is, "Why is so much praise music not very good?" This is by Pastor Scott Kay. He said, "I'm thankful that I get to shape the diet of the kind of music my flock is singing on a regular basis. But I am frustrated that so many of the newer songs that I am constantly searching to include in our repertoire are not worthy of it. So much of the offering out there are perennial, either theologically trite, or weak, or vague, or unbiblical." This is what one of them says. You know. Another one, who is, I guess, the music pastor, his responsibility is to seek out good songs, good lyrics, good music, and add to their group of songs. And his name is Adam Walker Cleveland, or there may have been a comma left out there. I don't know. He might be in Cleveland. His name might be Adam Walker. But anyway, he writes, he says, "Very bad praise music lyrics. While going through the process, I did find some really bad lyrics." You know, you may wonder, well, why do we put so much emphasis on having correct wording in our songs? We want our songs to be biblical. We want our songs to be doctrinally correct. And so for that reason, we can't sing a lot of those songs. Another point to emphasize for thankfulness is being thankful is important to set the right example. It's a good example whenever we offer thanks. Philippians 2:14. Philippians 2:14 says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." You know, we live in a grumbling society. Unless you don't live in the same society I do. When we lived and worked in Louisville, I once heard a person make a statement after he was listening to this group of people with all their complaints and everything. He said to them, he said, "You folks are the highest paid bunch of grumblers I've ever heard." Well, there are times when we need to maybe bring to somebody's attention that something isn't right or something needs to be improved or something needs to be changed, but that could be positive. But just complaining for the sake of complaining and being a grumbler is not a good idea. It's not a good example. And people do notice. People notice what you do and what you say. In verse 15 here in Philippians 2, verse 15 says, "That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." So if we set a right example in what we say and what we do, we will stand out. People will notice, and we will be the right kind of lights in the world. Verse 16, "Holding fast the words of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." So always thinking to the future, what is the ultimate goal? We need to set a right example now, because we are going to be the leaders in tomorrow's world. Another thing I think God appreciates and enjoys, being thanked and praised. Do we enjoy that? Somebody thanks you for something you did or something you said. We appreciate that, don't we? Let's turn over to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation chapter 4. And we'll start with verse 8. God has creatures, that angels and so on, that praise him continually. I don't think we read anything in the Bible where he tells them to shut up and stop, do we? Revelation 4, verse 8 says, "The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day and night, saying, Holy, 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 God Almighty, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Verse 9, "Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worships him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." They get right to the core of it, don't they? In other words, if God hadn't made all these things, we wouldn't exist. God hadn't made the earth, we wouldn't have a place to live. But on the other hand, if he hadn't made the earth, probably wouldn't have made us either, would he? So he made all things. And we're a part of that great creation. So we should always remember to be thankful. Back up to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. It says, therefore, Hebrews 13:15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. It's interesting that praising God's called a sacrifice, but yet we enjoy it, don't we? It's almost not a sacrifice, is it? You know, something you enjoy doing. But God looks on that as just a wonderful sacrifice. A sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So God really appreciates that. But do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So God the Father and his Son appreciate praise and thanksgiving. It honors and acknowledges him in his greatness. Giving thanks is the best we can offer to God. And as we've seen before, he really appreciates it. And he deserves it because he is the Creator. Without him, we wouldn't exist. Without his actions, we would not exist. He created all things for our good and benefit, to his honor and glory. So we can and should offer God thanks in both words and works, or in words and our living example. So Thanksgiving Day that we just celebrated is one of those special times that we could offer thanks. But as we have seen in these points, it should be a day-to-day thing of offering thanks to God for all of his goodness and all of his blessings. In concluding, I want to read, we've read it before here, but I think it bears repeating, is I want to read the first presidential proclamation concerning Thanksgiving Day. And every time I read this, I am just amazed at the approach of George Washington and the leaders of that time. I don't even know whether you can read this in school anymore. But it ought to be read by every teacher in every school in this country, every year before Thanksgiving, maybe more than once. But notice what the first president of the United States said in this proclamation. He says, whereas it is the duty of all nations, not just our nation, it's the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of the Almighty God and to obey his will. I'll make a little comment right here. It is interesting to note at this point in time and history that these leaders, and obviously the founding fathers, believed that the laws of God superseded the laws of man and governments, and laws of civil government should not cause a person to break the law of God. See, he mentioned right off the bat, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge God, the providence of the Almighty, and to obey his will, and to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of the Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for this kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and favorable interposition of his providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been established or enabled to establish constitutions of government, for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplication to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all people. You suppose he was thinking about what Israel was commanded centuries before, that they were to be a model sample nation to the rest of the other nations, by constantly being a government of wise and just and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best, given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington.